Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Giri Varadhari Jaya Giri Varadhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Jaya Giri Varadhari Jaya Giri Varadhari Yashodhanandana Jaya Bhaja Janaranjana Jaya Yashodhanandana Jaya Bhaja Janaranjana Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Kunja Bihari Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Jaya Radha Madhava Radha Madhava Sri Radhe. Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Jai Jai Prabhupada, 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 Srila Prabhupada. Jai Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava Ki, Jai Shri Shri Prabhupada Ki, Gaura Premananda. Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, chapter 9, entitled Brahma's Prayers for Creative Energy, text 17. Loko vikama nirata kushale pramataha. Kama nyayam twadudite bhavada chane swe. Yasta vadasya balavan iha jivita sham. Yasta vadasya Sadhyaschina tanimishai namostu tasmai.
Yeah.
Yastavadasya balavan iha jivitasam. Sadyaschinata nimishaya namostu tasmai. Loko vikarma nirata kushale pramata. Karma nayam twadudite bhavad achane sve. Yasta vadasya balavan iha jivitasam. Sadyaschinata nimishaya namostu tasmai. Lokaha.
People in general.
Vikarma.
Work without sense.
Nirataha.
Engaged in.
Kushale,
in beneficial activity.
Pramataha,
negligent.
Kamani,
in activity.
I am
this.
Twat,
by you.
Udite,
enunciated.
Bhavat,
of you.
Archane,
in worship.
Sve,
their own.
Ya, who?
Tavat,
as long as.
Asya,
of the people in general.
Balavan,
very strong.
Iha,
this.
Jivita
asam,
struggle for existence.
Sadhya,
directly.
Chinati,
is cut to pieces.
Animisaya,
by the eternal time.
Namaha,
my obeisances.
Astu,
let there be.
Tasmai,
unto him.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki.
People in general all engage in foolish acts, not in the really beneficial activities enunciated directly by you for their guidance. As long as their tendency for foolish work remains powerful, all their plans in the struggle for existence will be cut to pieces. I therefore offer my obeisances unto him who acts as eternal time.
Report.
People in general are all engaged in senseless work. They are systematically unmindful of the real beneficial work, which is the devotional service of the Lord, technically called the Achan regulations. The Achan regulations are directly instructed by the Lord in the Narad Pancharatra and are strictly followed by the intelligent men who know well that the highest perfectional goal of life is to reach Lord Vishnu, who is the root of the tree called the cosmic manifestation. Also, in the Bhagavatam and in Bhagavad Gita, such regulative activities are clearly mentioned. Foolish people do not know that their self-interest is in realization of Vishnu. The Bhagavatam 7th canto, 5th chapter, text 30 to 32 says, Matirna Krishna Parata Sotova Mito Vipajeta Griha Vratanam Adanta Gobi Vishatam Tamishram Puna Punas Chavita Chavananam Nate Vidu Swatagatim Vishnu Durashaya Ye Bayatamanina Andaya Tandai Upaniyamanas Tepisa Tantriam Urdam Nibhadha Naisham Matistavat Urukramangrim Sprisata Nata Paga Moyanata Mahiya Sam Padarajo Bishekam Niskinchananam Navrinita Yavat. Persons who are determined to totally rot in false material happiness cannot become Krishna minded either by instructions from teachers, by self-realization, or by parliamentary discussions. They are dragged by the unbridled senses into the darkest region of ignorance, and thus they madly engage in what is called chewing the chewed. Because of their foolish activities, they are unaware that the ultimate goal of human life is to achieve Vishnu, the Lord of the cosmic manifestation. And so their struggle for existence is in the wrong direction of material civilization, which is under the external energy. They are led by similar foolish persons, just as one blind man is led by another blind man, and both fall in the ditch. Such foolish men cannot be attracted toward the activities of the Supreme Powerful, who is actually the neutralizing measure for their foolish activities, unless and until they have the good sense to be guided by the great souls who are completely freed from material attachment. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord asks everyone to give up all other occupational duties and absolutely engaged in achan activities or in pleasing the Lord. But almost no one is attracted to such achan activities. Everyone is more or less attracted by activities which are conditions of rebellion against the Supreme Lord. The systems of jnana and yoga are also indirectly rebellious acts against the Lord. There is no auspicious activity except achana of the Lord. Jnana and yoga are sometimes accepted within the purview of achan when the ultimate aim is Vishnu and not otherwise. The conclusion is that only the devotees of the Lord are bona fide human beings eligible for salvation. Others are vainly struggling for existence without any actual benefit. Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhu bhyayevacha patitanam pavenebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadara shiva sadi gaura bhakta vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukham karoti vachalam, pangum langayate girim, yat kripa tamaham vande shi gurum dinatayinam, paramananda madhavam shi chaitanya ishwaram. Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 9, Brahma's Prayers for Creative Energy, Text 17, Translation. People in general all engage in foolish acts, not in the really beneficial activities enunciated directly by you for their guidance. As long as their tendency for foolish work remains powerful, all their plans in the struggle for existence will be cut to pieces. I therefore offer my obeisances unto him who acts as eternal time. These are the powerful prayers of our head of the Sampradaya, Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma also had to go through the process of self-realization, that he himself didn't understand who he was, where he was. He didn't understand the mission of his life. What am I to do? He is self-born, appearing atop the lotus flower that sprouted from the navel of Gavodakshaya Vishnu. when he was confronted with this darkness internally, not knowing his purpose for existence, and externally, the universe being such a dark place, Brahmaji thought, let me find out what to do. He engaged his own abilities, which is generally the natural tendency of everyone in this world. I have to figure out what to do with my life. So many people are trying to figure out how to get by. We're born here and we find these conditions. We didn't make the world the way it is. But we have to find a way, because everyone else also is pushing and shoving and trying to find their way. So Brahmaji tried to discover what was his condition, where had he come from. But all that was futile. Eventually, he decided to go back on top of the lotus, despondent and trying to understand from within. So the Lord Shri Krishna, who is Suridam Sarvabhutanam, who is the dearmost friend of everyone, who is within the heart of everyone, is there as the friend and the witness and the guide, gave direction to Lord Brahma. So the first living being, he also required guru. He required guidance. So the first principle of education, whether material or spiritual, is that one has to get a teacher, has to get a guru, one who is familiar with the subject matter. And who better than the Supreme Personality of Godhead to guide Lord Brahma? So he was guided to perform tapasya, austerity. By performing tapasya, after many, many years, thousands of years, his identity was revealed to him, and the expanse of Vedic knowledge was revealed to him. He understood that he was a milkmaid in Goloka Vrindavan, and that Govinda, the player of the flute, the master of the cows and spiritual senses, was his supreme master. And understanding his duty to create the universe, of course, Atra Saga Visagas Cha, the first creation of all the elements is done by the Supreme Lord. And then Lord Brahma is the secondary creator. His duty was now clear. But now his behavior is very instructive for all of us. That although now he's been given the knowledge of his identity, he's been given the knowledge of who is in control of everything, who is the master of his life, the master of material energy, still, he is offering prayers for empowerment to conduct his service. It is very easy when one has some abilities and some expertise to consider oneself the doer of activities. I did this. There was a case of two individuals. One is a devotee till today, a couple. So the husband, he discovered Srila Prabhupada's science of self-realization at a hotel in a neighboring country. And he associated with his divine grace. And just like Lord Brahma, his ignorance was dispelled. He understood that actually I should become a surrendered servant of Krishna. Having discovered his life's purpose, he returned home to Johannesburg, ecstatic, happy to share the news with his wife. that we are servants of Krishna and we should worship Krishna, and this is now my conviction in life. So the wife, being happy for his husband, who was living a wayward life, approved. So he started to come to the temple, he was practicing. But as we all know, in the beginning of our spiritual lives, there is this inundation of Lord Nityananda's mercy. Many of the devotees here have been practicing for decades. I'm sure you still remember, though, the feelings at the beginning of your spiritual life where you're ready to take over the world and you don't care what society has to say, even parents. We don't care. We are serving Krishna. So he was radically transforming the way of life in the household. She went along with that enthusiasm. And one day, her work was a wedding planner. So she was announced as the wedding planner of the year. And there was to be some award ceremony to celebrate that. And so this young man, finding that out, he said, "Oh, this is amazing. Krishna has done this for you." And then she became so incensed. "What? This once, something that I did, and you don't want to give me credit? You want to give credit to your Krishna? What is this?" So he tried to explain, no, everything that anyone can do is empowered by the abilities that God has given. He has approved it. But she could not take it at that point, because we're looking also for credit for what we've done. We want credit. And this giving of credit to Krishna doesn't, in the beginning, land very well with the conditioned soul. So there's this obstacle of becoming a vimuda, greatly foolish person, by thinking out of false ego that one is the doer of activities. So Lord Brahma is praying to the Supreme Lord for the empowerment to do this service. Overall, he's trying to avoid the obstacle of becoming again covered by that mentality of thinking that one has done something independent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this chapter has these beautiful prayers where Lord Brahma is honoring the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in today's verse, Lord Brahma then reveals his compassionate heart. This is the mood of the Vaishnava. That he is not just interested in his own personal salvation, but he is concerned with the salvation of the people in general. It is said the Vaishnava is para dukkha dukkhi. That his greatest suffering is to see that others are suffering when they do not have to. Srila Prabhupada spoke, and the Bible speaks, of the prodigal son. Somehow or the other, by some crazy idea, he leaves home. He grabs whatever he can, some inheritance, and he goes off into the streets. He thinks he's self-sufficient. He acquires so many useless friends who help him squander his inheritance, and then he's loitering in the streets. And someone sees him. "Oh, you are the son of such and such, a wealthy, well-to-do man. What are you doing? Loitering in the streets, struggling like you have no parents who have the means." So such a person takes this wayward soul back home to his father for shelter and to regain his natural life. So that is the Vaishnava, the pure servant of the Lord, feels for all the conditioned souls that we are here, Prabhupada uses the word rotting in material existence. Sometimes, due to our practice and the auspiciousness of Krishna consciousness, it can become lost to us, this idea of suffering and rotting in the material world, because the sufferings of the devotees are not as acute as those in ignorance and passion. So the people in general, they are avoiding the really beneficial works of devotional service. But this is mentioned that it's not their fault. It's not their fault. Anatha pasamam sakshat. Bhakti yoga madokshaje. Lokasya janato vidvans chakri satuta samhitam. That the unbeneficial works that the living beings are involved in this material world are superfluous to them. They are external. They are due to this bodily concept of life. Because they don't understand that bhakti yoga, the connecting process of Krishna consciousness, the connecting process to Adokshaja, the Lord who is beyond the range of material senses, they don't know this. So Vyasadev, also Vaishnav, he is compiling this literature in the height of his spiritual maturity, this Bhagavatam, to liberate such personalities. So when we are aspiring to be Vaishnavas, or we think that we are Vaishnavas, we should also consider this duty of a Vaishnava, this disposition to think of suffering humanity. Finally, we are on the island of Krishna consciousness. Beautiful darshans, sprawling lawns, community of devotees, born in the movement, decades in the movement, so many qualifications in spiritual life that one can begin to enjoy the fruits of Krishna consciousness. Again, think of one's personal salvation. So that is another trap of a comfort zone, which Srila Prabhupada demonstrated was definitely not the mood of the members of the Krishna consciousness movement. The comfort zone means one is drowning, but one is drowning in sweet rice. So if you had to choose to drown in sweet rice or to drown in the salty water of the ocean, you choose sweet rice. No, rascal, no drowning. But that is the point, that we will choose to drown in sweet rice. But drowning means death. But no, Prabhuji, this is very tasty, very nice. Such a nice life, Krishna consciousness. So this is the anatha which may befall the community of devotees, that we become liberationists. As long as we have our Krishna consciousness going, we have our festivals, we invite your friends and your relatives. Sometimes it's actually said like this, that we've become such a close-knit community on our island that we forget that there's millions of people clamoring for rescue, waiting to meet a Vaishnava. And that at some point we were also that individual. So Lord Brahma is not condemning everyone. He understands they are foolish because of the influence of the modes of material nature. They don't know what is good for them. It is said when Jesus Christ was on the cross and about to quit his body. Of course, Lila, for some time, he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they are doing." So this disposition of compassion is the fuel of the Hare Krishna movement, the fuel of any genuine spiritual society. And it is the thrust with which we will personally get our highest aspiration of Krishna Prema. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions the state of affairs, that people who are guided by blind men, blind women, and they are also similarly blind. So there's the freeway there, big blind man with a loud hailer. He's telling everybody who's blind, "Come with me, let us cross the freeway, I will take you across." And everybody's saying, "Yes, we will follow you." Anyone who sees this, and naturally will see, we've got, they've got eyes, and has compassion, will run and stop them. And even though they're excited to cross the freeway, their leader is blind, and they're also blind, and what will happen will be a massacre on the road. So, I come from South Africa. We just also had elections there. And they have now dubbed the new parliament the government of national unity. So it sounds good on paper. National unity. We want that. Here in the great states of America, we are also going through the process leading to some elections. Recently, there was some debate, presidential debate. And so the citizens are discussing the pros and cons and who's better, who's worse. And they are hoping that they will get a leader who will liberate them. From what? From deprivation of sense gratification in general. That we don't want to pay higher tax, we don't want to have whatever it may be, illegal immigration, we don't want this, we don't want that. So this type of liberation that is offered by blind men is described in Bhagavatam to be another rope that ties people to this material world. So if the country is all shiny and first class and everything works just fine, then what happens is that we start to lean back again. We start to enjoy, "Oh, thank God I was born in South Africa. Thank God I was born in America. Life is so wonderful and cozy." Then again, sweet rice. But the liberated soul, his compassion is to say, "No, you will never become happy in the jurisdiction of the modes of material nature. Because you are a spiritual being. Your needs are spiritual. The fish out of water, no matter what facility you give the fish, simply flapping and suffocating. But if you place the fish back in the water, then without any endeavor, his mood is up, his life is restored, and he has some prospects." So the prospects of the living being are in on the spiritual platform. On the material platform, it is simply chewing the chewed. When we were young, we used to chew bubble gum. And there was the crime the teachers didn't like, we were sticking it under the desk. Tomorrow we'll relish again. But how long will bubble gum retain its sweetness? From our shastras, we hear the example of the sugar cane. Same, same. Once you chew it and you spit it out, if you come the next day and search out the same and think you will chew and enjoy, this is illusion. If you come next week, then we need to find some hospital for you. This is madness. So material existence means the citizens of this world become mad because they are chewing that which has already been chewed again and again, and they are thinking they will get some substance out of it. Even the most tasty kachori, once it is chewed, you know, the doctor says chew how many times for proper digestion? 30, somebody said 40, 32. So, okay, it's been chewed 32 times, and then it is presented to you here, enjoy. No, what is this? It's gross. So the Bhagavatam is such a scripture that it's challenging us, challenging our conceptions. Is this what we are settling for? Is that the type of kachori that we want to eat? If we will not eat it, then certainly no one else. Only the hogs that eat stew, maybe will appreciate it. So this is the language of the scripture to challenge us to rise, that I will not become a victim of material energy. And when we rise, we want to elevate others in the same understanding. So the Achan process, focusing on worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it's not just only, oh, repulsive, Maya, bad, bad, run. But turn and then understand why you have eyes to see the beauty of Krishna. Why you have a nose to smell the garlands, the incense offered to the Lord. Why you have ears to hear the beautiful sound glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to hear the holy name of Krishna. Why you have a tongue to taste the prasadam of the Lord, to vibrate the glories of Krishna. These senses have a purpose. But they are misdirected into the temporary realm and therefore frustrating us, embarrassing us. Disease. Such an embarrassment. It doesn't care about your bank balance, your family lineage, your education. It just degrades your ability to function in this body. Old age, death. These are the calamities that the eternal part and parcel of Krishna is facing. But Krishna is saying, if we are to line up behind the liberated souls and to take up the process of engaging our senses, Rishikena Rishikeshna, Sevanam Bhakti Uchit, engage our senses in the service of the master of the senses, then what happens is that the senses are controlled and they are also purified. Because this world, people are clamoring for freedom for the senses. But Krishna consciousness says, no, freedom from the senses. Because freedom for the senses means everything goes. We are a civilization of rights consciousness. So everyone has their right to enjoy their lives. So this right to enjoy your life, rights to be exploited by those who are using material energy to keep us fascinated, titillated. The Krishna consciousness says, yes, you have a right to enjoy your senses, but in cooperation with the Supreme Personality of God. So then we gain real freedom, not just free to run ourselves into hell, but free to connect to the reservoir of all happiness, reservoir of all beauty, of all charm. So jnana and yoga can also be used, but they are not the ultimate process. Srila Prabhupada writes that everyone is more or less attracted by activities which are conditions of rebellion against the Supreme Lord. The systems of jnana and yoga are also indirectly rebellious acts against the Lord. So this rebellion in jnana means that there's some speculation, trying to extend our senses to understand reality. So we are finite. How far can we extend our senses to understand the infinite person? We extend and we use some tools to try and understand the micro world, the macro world, but still, it is all limited. Unless and until the infinite reveals himself to the finite, then there is no understanding of the full reality of what we should do. So the process of bhakti, which means that the Lord being pleased by the attitude of the devotee, by the abandoning of the false pride of being the doer, by lining up behind the great acharyas and developing compassion for others, then the Lord easily reveals himself to the devotee, to the point that even the children, the preacher was preaching at the marketplace in the UK, "Have you seen God? You have to find God. You have to see the Lord." And the devotee kid went up to the pastor and said, "Oh, you want to see God? You come to our house. Come to our house." He's at our house. This is our position. That we are here, we are, there's the Lord. And this is bewildering. How are the Hare Krishnas so pompous that they've got pictures everywhere of God? This is the mercy of the revelation that comes in disciplic succession, where the Lord, being pleased by his pure devotees like Lord Brahma, revealed Vedic knowledge. And Lord Brahma revealed it to his disciple, and like that it has come to us that now we feel very sheltered under the acharya, and we feel confident that we can now engage our senses fully, with determination, full throttle, running back home, back to Godhead, because of the mercy of the process of bhakti yoga. So bhakti yogam adokshiji, devotional service to the Supreme Lord, it will solve all the problems of material existence, and it will allow us to relish and to fulfill the desire of the heart to get the nectar for which we are always anxious. Therefore, Sankirtan Yagya should be spread everywhere, and we should come together, make alliances. We have to recolonize the world, so this is an invitation. Come to Africa. Please come to South Africa. Recolonize with Krishna consciousness. People are always happy to see visitors. And if you are coming from America, Prabhupada understood this. He took his American, European disciples everywhere. People were happy, "Oh, you're from America." They want to hear, because America is supposed to be the leader of the free world, although they are being revealed to be really shaky. Ouch. It's just like, it cannot be hidden anymore. The world is rebelling. So we need the Bhagavad culture to come up and be the leader, give the eyes to the people. So once we have found shelter and strength, let us go out and make this Hare Krishna movement great again. Shri Prabhupada ki. Are there any thoughts, Maharaj, you'd like to share? You didn't say anything, I was just asking, sorry. Anyone? Anyone with a comment or question? Hopefully we can try to. Oh, sorry, we've gone out of overtime. Yeah?
Thank you, Prabhu. You mentioned that a salvationist is one who is just self-content and or drowning in the sweet rice, so to speak. So also there's that the Bhajananandi and Ghostananandi. So I would say the salvationist would be that Bhajananandi. Right, would you say? And what would be the opposite of a salvationist? We don't want to be a salvationist, but we want to be a what? What would be that word or that description?
Yes. So Srila Prabhupada spoke, yes, Ghostananandi, Bhajananandi. But he said that of the Bhajananandi, he's the real Bhajananandi is the Ghostananandi. That he preaches, he nourishes himself at the same time he preaches. So when we extend ourselves, then we become covered by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is necessary, yes, doctors heal thyself, devotees require strength. Srila Prabhupada said, every year, devotees should come to the Holy Dham and get together with others and charge up. So, one's personal practices do need to deepen. But what happens is that with the Sankirtan movement, when one is sharing Krishna consciousness, one experiences greater empowerment, greater faith. There's much more purification, whereas in one's own practice, one may fall into the traps of thinking that actually I've made such advancement and falling into a trap of pride or slipping because of associating with his own mind. So we want to be a Ghostananandi who is a Bhajananandi by preaching, by extending mercy.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for coming and inspiring our hearts. Prabhu, Brahma was asked to perform tapasya. Do you compare that to our going out and preaching now? Is that our tapasya?
Yes, Matiji, this tapodivyam. This is a tapasya. It's not easy because, as Prabhupada writes, the people are fully confident in the way of life. You go to shopping malls, everything is shiny and there's nice background music, and you come and say, this world is about suffering. They look at you like, what do you mean about suffering? Because everything looks shiny and working. And people don't see the heart immediately. So they don't understand what you will give them. So there may be some rejection, some insults. But I would say that now, I was hearing from a devotee in the 60s, 70s, the devotees were really struggling. They were like enemies of the people. People were spitting on them and just cursing them out. We are now at a time where actually the world is much more embracing. We're in the era of spirituality. So if you say, oh, spirituality, you say yoga. So many buzzwords to connect us to the people. We even go out dressed like this. Now people think this is amazing. Oh, are you a monk? They want to hear something. So actually the tapasya of preaching has become much easier by the mercy of Prabhupada and his disciples to influence the world that people are actually waiting for us. They're waiting for us. It's no longer that much of a tapasya, although it is tapasya. In one sense, I'm from South Africa. How many horses and boats would I have to ride on to get here? But now, you know, there's airplanes, you can fly. I took a Greyhound from Atlanta to here, you know. So facilities are there to get to the public. So tapasya is just to step out, you know, take the first step. Okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare well, Prabhu. Very nice. Welcome back. So the new excitement now is AI. You hear about AI, artificial intelligence, and it seems like it's such a powerful drive now that it has the whole world excited. What's your take on it? I mean, how do you feel about it and this new excitement?
Yes, it's a artificial is the main word there. So we want to awaken our real intelligence, spiritual intelligence. So when that happens, then this AI as a tool can actually be used for the benefit of mankind. Currently, it is itself artificial, basically computers just that can search all of human knowledge and present you things or design things, but it's all within the shell of this material universe. So it requires some spiritual intelligence guiding it as a tool, then maybe it can be of help. But it's just another permutation of the road shows of Maya. Without coming off as just so pessimistic, but this is our understanding that the whole universe, like a mustard seed, becomes insignificant. It's to be used as paraphernalia for service, or it should be left behind. Let's go back home. So if we can engage it properly, please, we need to. Otherwise, it can be, and it will become a great danger to what we call life as normal. Because human beings who are materially motivated will, of course, use it nefariously. And we're beginning to see that.
Thank you for your class. You're just mentioning about tapasya being taking a step outside to preach. I'd like to hear what you have to say about the tapasya of taking a step in, so to speak, which I sometimes think is harder, a real tapasya to help those who have taken to Krishna consciousness, but they have their name, a devotee name, but not more than that. And it's a very difficult thing to help those who have taken to the process. And sometimes those who have taken to the process are, and who are kind of in their own world, to help them, it's very difficult. It's a real tapasya.
Yes.
I guess the question is also, do we need to spend more time and understand that tapasya, that we need to really take that seriously? I heard that Prabhupada said that maybe it's not time to boil the milk. So many people have joined. I'd like to hear what you have to say about your comment.
Thank you, Mataji. Yeah, it's not an either or. Preaching, extending compassion, it goes to those who have joined or those who have not joined. we have to find our service in the preaching movement. So some devotees definitely have to minister to the flock and to minister to those who have lost their way. It's as crucial as going out and bringing also Krishna's children who were forgotten him. It should all go on. Srila Prabhupada could understand that there is this danger, and by your own analysis you may probably see that as the mission becomes big and shiny and with facility, then like a light in the dark, so many may come attracted to that light, but their intentions may not be for the essence of cultivating pure devotional service, may be attracted to the facilities of the movement. And so the danger was that you may lose the quality as you increase the quantity. So Srila Prabhupada also was highlighting that instead of just getting numbers of maybe cheap followers who just like the facility, the scene, they are there maybe culturally, create and help strengthen those who have accepted Krishna so that by their strength of Krishna consciousness, they'll be able to affect the public with real deep spiritual life. So we cannot stop anyone from coming, and we want everyone to come, and those who have come, we also want them to stay. So it is a tapasya either way. And sometimes, as you've mentioned, those who already know, because now you're not going to wow them with some new philosophy, they know everything, but they're just somewhere stuck. Sometimes also it can be a waste of energy, not really waste, but you can expend a lot of energy trying to husk some rice that's already been husked. So we need a balance always, definitely. A balance is needed. But this balance is more tilting to spreading Krishna consciousness. This Mahaprabhu was more like every town and village. It helps. Yes, please.
Hare Krishna, thank you for coming. Welcome back to Alatra. I appreciated your class. It was so nice. I wrote down so many points. I hope I make sure to go back and look at it again. And I appreciate what Madhumati was just saying. I was thinking that too, about the importance of also preaching or sharing with the devotees and encouraging devotees. And I wanted to add to that as well the importance of self-introspection, you know. So like, I feel like there's the three major parts there: me looking at myself and checking where I'm at and what I need to work on, and me making myself available to other devotees who need help, and then also me going out and trying to, influence people who are not in Krishna consciousness.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Most important is, as Prabhupada said, we have to learn how to fish without getting wet. Okay, we're no longer fishing, but you know. We at least have to be in the right consciousness and steady, so that we can be able to help others. So thank you for that comment. Okay, thank you so much, and my apologies for keeping you for so long. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna.